You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the conflict in the Middle East is raging on. Azerbaijan has come under attack for the first time in the war. It has accused Iran of launching drone attacks on its territory. This has left two people injured. In turn, Iran has accused Israel and the United States of deliberately targeting civilian areas during the six-day conflict. Sukundar Kamani is foreign correspondent with Channel 4 News, and he joins me now from Tel Aviv. Sukundar, thank you for being with us this morning. Maybe we'll start with an overview of where we are on today, day six of this conflict.
Well, look, Claire, this conflict is expanding further and further every day, it seems. In terms of the main theatres of action, of course, what we're seeing is continued very heavy airstrikes by the Israelis and the Americans over Iran, particularly around Tehran, but in many parts of the country. The Israeli Air Force says they've dropped more than 5,000 bombs already, and that they're preparing for at least another week or so of war. Of course, the exact time frame very much unclear. At the moment, in terms of Iran firing back, well, overnight in Israel, we had several missile alerts, although no real tangible damage done. Iran has clearly been seeking to try and internationalize this conflict as much as possible, and that's why we've seen these very, very frequent attacks on targets across the Gulf Arab states in recent days. They've been continuing too. That's of course having an impact on oil and gas prices. We've also seen yesterday an Iranian missile being shot down by Turkish over Turkish as it approached Turkish airspace. Today, as you say, an Iranian drone caused damage at an airport in Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan being something of an ally of Israel, but yet it's another country that up until now had not been involved in this conflict, now being brought into it. And I think that's really part of Iran's strategy, because it wants to try and create as much chaos and instability in the region as possible in order to pressure Donald Trump to bring an end to his war, which is, you know, having devastating consequences for the regime.
And Sukundar, there's been an interesting intervention from Mark Rutte, who is the head of NATO, saying that NATO supports the US targeting Iran's nuclear and missile capabilities, saying the country was close to becoming a threat to Europe as well. I'm sure there will be some who will be surprised at that, given that there were many who said that Donald Trump circumvented international law to launch this action.
Indeed. I mean, you know, we've had quite confused narratives particularly from the Americans about what their intentions are with this war. Is it regime change? At the very start, it seemed that that was very much on the cards. In subsequent statements, President Trump has moved away from that. He's talked about that Iran the regime there needs to be overthrown because of its ballistic missile capabilities, because of its nuclear capabilities, and if not overthrown, then it needs to have those capabilities basically, you know, very strongly removed. But we also heard in the last day or two kind of increased speculation about the possibility of a of Iranian Kurdish rebels who are across the border in Iraq being used as a kind of proxy force by the CIA and Mossad to go in across the border and start what would effectively be something of a civil war. That has not happened as of yet, but there's, you know, still the possibility of it beginning to occur in the coming days. The Israelis are much more open, I think, than the Americans about what their intentions are, and they want clearly regime change. But I think for both the Americans and the Israelis, they'll see themselves, despite all the instability and chaos that's going on right now, as in something of a win-win position, because they're able to extract a very, very heavy price on the regime, which is of course still intact, it's still fighting back. And but their calculation will be, I suspect, that even if they are forced at some stage to bring the war to a close in the coming weeks, they'll have done so having massively weakened the regime. Iran's regime, I think, is trying just to survive. And for them, surviving will be a victory. Of course, in the middle of that, you have the Iranian people. Many of them had, after those awful, the awful repression of the protests back in January, called for international intervention and wanted to see strikes on the regime. Now, though, we're getting reports from human rights groups of in excess of 1,000 civilians being killed. You wonder whether opinion on the ground there is shifting or mm-hmm. not. Very hard to get an accurate sense because, you know, we're not allowed to enter the country, and certainly even if we are, to report freely.
And in terms of the movement of people, I mean, we heard very openly the Israelis telling people in South Lebanon to leave for their own safety. Where do they go is always a question. But the UN Refugee Agency is now saying on a wider scale that population movement has begun on foot of what's happened over the last 6 days.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen massive displacement out of Iran. We've been speaking to sources at the border with Turkey, for example, and there has been a trickle of Iranians coming out. Of course, many of them talking about living in fear and the constant strikes or the noise of them, particularly those who are coming from Tehran. Although we haven't seen a mass exodus, it doesn't seem as if we've seen the same numbers of leaving the country or leaving the cities as we saw during the what's known as the 12-day war between Israel and Iran last year. In southern Lebanon, you know, that's another theater that's of conflict that's opened up after Hezbollah launched some missiles into Israel, and Israel responded very heavily with airstrikes in Beirut and across the south of the country, then moving troops deeper into the south of the country, and as you say, warning all civilians in the area to evacuate. We saw those tactics in 2024 as well. And you wonder where exactly it's going to end, because even after a ceasefire had been signed between Hezbollah and Israel, Israel had continued targeting what they said were Hezbollah positions, making life in the south of the country, where Hezbollah's had traditionally a much stronger presence, kind of very, very difficult, if not near impossible for residents. And again, it doesn't seem as if there's a immediate end in sight to that aspect of the conflict either.
Sekunda, you've touched on this, but questions have been asked about just how long America and Israel can keep this going for. And I think, you know, when we look at this from the outside, we think, well, their resources must be infinite. But then we remember what happened last June when they launched that very significant and targeted attack on Iran. These weapons are not easily replenished, but we don't have an answer around stockpiles when it comes to the US and Israel. Or on the other side, we don't quite know what Iran has.
No, and at the moment, it's, you know, all sides, I think, are trying to play up their capabilities because, understandably, no one wants to admit to weakness. So there had been concerns raised, for example, about the air defense supplies of the Arab Gulf states, who, you know, for them, this is something very new. They'd built themselves up as being these hubs of global luxury and safe travel destinations and business destinations. Now they're in the middle of you know, this massive conflict. But they've denied publicly that they have concerns over those supplies. I think those concerns, the reality is, do exist. Those concerns will also extend to Israel. They'll also extend to the US, because no one, as you say, has an infinite supply of weapons, either for defense or for offense. It's what we're seeing is a bit of a race between
on the one hand, the Israelis and the Americans trying to destroy Iran's ability to launch missiles out at the region and at Israel, and Iran's attempts to wear down America, particularly by targeting its allies in the region. We have seen a noticeable decline in the pace and the scale of Iran's attacks over the past few days, certainly from the kind of comparing it to the very outset of it. We haven't seen a kind of decline of that kind when it comes to American and Israeli attacks. But I think perhaps there's also an attempt by the Iranians to conserve their supplies, wanting to prolong it as much as possible. One diplomat from the region that I was talking to was saying to me that, he believes Iran's calculation is that if it can just keep going, keep causing this disruption, that eventually domestic pressure within the US on President Trump, greater international pressure, that will all come to bear, and he'll be forced to bring things to an end before collapsing the regime. Could there be some kind of deal? Could there be some kind of new figure who emerges in Iran who's willing to sign a nuclear agreement of the kind that Trump has been pushing on and demanding from the Iranians? Maybe, but for now, it seems as if the Iranians think that they can also continue fighting.
All right, well, it remains to be seen. Sikandar, thank you very much for your time. Sikandar Kamani there from Channel 4, joining us this morning from Tel Aviv.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.